The podcast you're about to listen to is for adults only. It's not safe for work. It's graphic. And ain't you excited to listen to that? Get ready. Here we go.
All of my life, I've never fit. But I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
There, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour, and this week on the podcast, we have a story from sexual adventurer and globetrotter Kimberly Ann. How's your week going? I had a really great birthday week. You would never think, would you? I mean, the world's kind of on fire. And somehow it was simple and sequestered and some other word that starts with S probably, but I had such a great time and I got so many messages and people would drop off presents on my porch. How weird is that? How'd y'all get my address? For my actual birthday on Thursday, I went to the drive-in. I love the drive-in. It's one of my favorite things and I haven't done it in at least a couple years. And so we took my little red Kia Soul. We loaded Quake, the St. Bernard, into the back. He fills the entire back up, it feels like. And he was so excited to get to go with us. We had packed a container of Orville Redenbacher's, like popcorn in a bucket with extra movie theater butter, because there wasn't going to be a snack bar. We packed that. We went over to a Mexican restaurant we like way out in Concord and picked up tortilla soup. Don't try and eat soup at the drive-in. That's a terrible idea, but it was delicious. We had burritos. We had popcorn. We stopped and picked up a birthday cake from Crystal Crow. Crystal had said, okay, you get your birthday cake. What kind of cake you want? And I'm like, oh God, what kind of birthday cake do I want this year? I know. Boston cream pie, because I'm contrary and I like my favorite cake to be a pie. But I said my favorite part is the custard in the middle. What I would like you to do is whatever amount of custard you were planning to put in the middle of a Boston cream pie, like do three times more than that. And she said, I got you. I'm going to take a 9-inch cake pan. I'm going to put a 6-inch cake pan inside it. And then in between the two, I'm going to pour the batter. So there's going to be this giant cavity that I can fill with homemade custard. So chocolate ganache on top, extra, extra, extra custard. We picked it up on the way to the drive-in at her house. And yeah, that was kind of a sloppy cake to try and eat in the front seat of the car. But whatever, you know, I'm eating soup. I'm making a mess. I don't care. My best friend, Lil P, came and met me. She parked in the parking space right next to me at the drive-in. And we both put our feet up on the dash and we texted each other all the way through the boring movie. But who cares? It was my first time being out of the house in probably, other than a walk up the hill, I would say it's probably been March 7th was the last time I left the house, other than a quick walk around the block. Bent, my partner, has been doing all of the errands and all of the grocery shopping. I'm just here in the house listening to dirty stories and hosting live streams and recording podcasts. It's an interesting life I have right now. I've been working with a lot of new story coaching clients. A lot of people have free time and they want to start working on personal projects or they want to work on business skills. I'm probably a really fun person to do that with, I suspect. That's the feedback I'm getting. And I love helping people figure out the story. I get to feel like I'm a helper. So I've really been enjoying those new projects, the podcast, the live stream, trying to figure out if the live shows will ever come back. We have lost a huge part of our income by losing the live shows. But other things seem to be coming in to fill the gap a little bit, you know? I mean, live shows are my favorite thing in the world, and I miss them so much. But the live stream has been really fun. We've been able to interact with people from all over the world. And it's really great to not feel restricted to just people who are local to the live shows. That we can have people who will set their alarm clock in the middle of the night and get up and tell a great story about sex to people who love body. It's working out really well. Speaking of the live stream, here's the thing that happened. So last Saturday was the live stream. And you may have heard me talk about the Butt Plug Club. That was my birthday gift to myself. I was excited to find other people to play with. Like, hey, you guys, I have this bad idea. Who wants to help me make it happen? And a bunch of people are like, I definitely want a body storytelling butt plug. I want your little cartoon face peeking out somebody's asshole looking at me. That sounds like the perfect thing. We spent a lot of time making the packages beautiful, putting them in their little black velvet bags, putting other little assorted things in the package that we shipped out. Unfortunately, the mail doesn't work the way it used to. So there were one or two people who didn't get it in time that really bummed us out. We're going to work on a longer timeline next time. But everybody who got it loved it, said, you know, people talk things up and say, this is a really nice butt plug, but you know, huh? But this is a really, really nice butt plug. I got that from everybody that we sent butt plugs to. And how much fun is it to say that sentence? Everybody we sent butt plugs to. There was one person who was the first person. His name is Mark. I hope it's okay that I say your name, Mark. They can't figure out who you are from the name Mark. He was so excited about the butt plug. He was like, I want one. I want one. The minute I announced it, I'm like, hang on, tickets aren't on sale. He's like, I want one. And I shipped him one and he got it. And he was so excited. He wrote me when he got it. And I was like, oh, thank God. Of anybody, he was the most enthusiastic about this. So I'm really glad he got his in time. And then he confessed that this was his very first butt plug. And he was so excited that it came from me and he was excited to try out butt plugs. But the thing about these butt plugs is, when I was going back and forth with the manufacturer, Glow Fuck Yourself, the best name ever, we had gone back and forth. He'd sent me a butt plug and I'm like, you know, it's just too small. And when I said it's too small, I was talking about the podcast logo on the end, the piece that sticks out of your ass. And he was like, really? And I'm like, do you have any bigger ones? And he goes, well, yeah. And I'm like, what's the largest one you got? He sent me an image of what it would look like. And I'm like, well, okay, I guess that's really, that's the biggest you got? He goes, who are you hanging out with? And I'm like, well, my people are perverts. So yeah, like, give me the biggest one you got. It arrived and I was like, oh, wow. That is like a wow. I contacted him and I said, Jesse, this is a really big butt plug. And he's like, what did you ask me for? And I'm like, yeah, but when I said big, I meant the image that the podcast logo was sticking out of the end that doesn't go into your ass. And he's like, well, when most people say they want a bigger butt plug, they're talking about the part that goes into your ass. And I'm like, yeah, that was a miscommunication. So when Mark told me that this was his very first butt plug, and he sent me a message and he said, okay, thank you for the lube. That was super helpful. Thank you, Uber Lube. He said, you know, this thing's kind of bigger. It's going to take a while to get in there. I'm trying. It's moving. Like he's messaging me about the process of inserting his first butt plug. And I just don't want to say, Mark, it's bigger than I intended you to start with. I didn't know you had a beginner butthole, but he got it in there. He had it in through the live stream. And here's the thing with the live stream. You know, you're encouraged to be your freaky self, but you can't show us your butthole. I wanted to make sure everybody understood that. So I just knew he was sitting there with a really sizable butt plug in his asshole through the whole show. And I mean, isn't that why it's called a bad idea? Somebody, I had a miscommunication. I sent out products to people. They loved them, but maybe they were not a starter butt plug. We've learned that, haven't we? I'm considering going a size down for the next butt plug, unless, of course, you tell me that I should go up. And then we'll just kind of stick with the big one. Some perverts messaged me and said, it's not that big. Perverts always do that. They always go, oh, God, I could take three times more than that. I don't know who to believe. Mark seemed really happy. He had a really happy look on his face during the live stream. I really wanted people to be able to watch the exhibitionists, the people who were part of the butt plug club and the people who were on camera. I wanted that interaction. I know that you have something going on and I can't see it, but I know it's going on, and that makes this show a little bit more fun. That's what shows are for me. An opportunity for us to all experiment together and honor each other's boundaries, but at the same time, you seem cool. We can probably be our real selves around each other, right? That is something that I'm loving with the live stream. And we're not going to do the butt plug club for the May 30th show. We have to order more because we sold out. And we want to make sure that we have plenty of time to get them to everybody. But the show after that is going to be a butt plug club. I hope I'm allowed to talk on the internet about butt plugs as much as I have, because I think I've said the word like 30 times now. In summary, it was a great birthday. Thank you for playing along with me. I'm so glad that the drive-ins opened back up. So the day of was a really special day. The last live stream, I got so many messages from people who said, I feel so much less alone. I feel like I have every other Saturday night, I have something to look forward to, an opportunity to hang out with my friends and see their faces and know they have things that are too large in their anal cavity. Like, all of that just makes my life so much more fun right now at a time when it's not that fun. It's only been a week since I talked to you last, but it was a pretty amazing birthday week. You contributed to that. If you wrote me a message, if you ordered a butt plug, if you watched the live stream, if you're listening to this podcast, you're part of it. You're part of what is making life not just bearable right now. It's not horrible. I'm super social. I'm an extrovert, and I'm getting through it because we are connecting. We're just doing it in weird new ways. Lube is the key to maximizing pleasure, whether alone or with a partner. And if you're going to lubricate, you want to make sure it's done with the highest quality, most body-safe ingredients. And for that, nothing beats Uberlube. What makes Uberlube body safe? It's free of nasty additives like parabens, preservatives, and petrochemicals. It stays on the surface of your skin and does not enter your bloodstream like water-based lube. It's great for all kinds of play, vaginal, anal, or oral, and Uberlube won't stain your clothing or bedding. Any spills can be easily cleaned with detergent and water. There's no flavor or scent, and the bottle's measured pumps allow you to dispense the perfect amount of product every time, even in the dark. It works underwater, so if you like to rub one out in the tub, grab your favorite waterproof sex toy and some Uberlube and get dirty while you get clean. Plus, it's safe and effective to use with condoms and is latex compatible. Uberlube provides just the right amount of slip while still allowing for skin-on-skin sensations. It's also a fantastic moisturizer for skin and hair. It's a silicone lube with vitamin E, so it's perfect for your skin, your hair, and for your bits. Uberlube's for everyone. Thousands of doctors recommend Uberlube as their go-to solution for patients experiencing dryness. Uberlube's simple ingredient list makes it widely used by people with sensitivities to other lubricants. And right now, Uberlube is offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code DIXIE at uberlube.com. I really love them, and I think you will too. Uberlube lets you feel what you want to feel. Give them a try. I think you'll love them. Go to uberlube.com, use the code DIXIE for 10% off and free shipping. Are you ready for a story? Well, let me tell you about this week's storyteller. Kimberly Ann Though new to storytelling on stage, has been telling stories to her friends in a desperate attempt to make them laugh for her whole life. Kimberly is hella native to the San Francisco Bay Area, coming straight out of Fremont, and has called San Francisco her home dating scene for the past 9 years. She loves basic bitch shit like yoga, hiking, and cats. Kimberly's favorite thing is traveling, and she has visited over 20 countries, experiencing new cultures, new cuisines, and new men from around the world. This storyteller is Kimberly Ann.
So he asked me if I had any lube, and I said I do. And I leaned over and opened the drawer underneath my bed to grab my bottle of Slickwood Silver. And he says, "I'm French. I want to see your toys." And he just starts looking in the drawer and reaches over my magic wand and pulls out my ball gag. And I was like, "No, no, 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 no. I mean, it was a Monday, for crying out loud." Like most Mondays, it started out very mundane. I was working on my boring finance spreadsheets for the tech startup that I worked for, but I was really looking forward to getting out of there and getting a massage. I was going to go to the Burke Williams, which is in the Westfield Mall, that nice shopping center on Market Street by Union Square. And what I love about that place is it has a really nice, like, jacuzzi hot tub that you can sit in before or after your massage. So I like to get really fucking stoned and then go sit in the hot tub for a little bit before I get a massage. So that's exactly where I was. High as fuck, naked, relaxing in the jacuzzi, and then another woman came in to sit in the jacuzzi as well. She was probably about mid-50s, long brown hair, kind of going gray, a little overweight, just, you know, not my dream girl, but that's fine. And she's sitting down, I've got my eyes closed, I'm relaxing, and a couple minutes later, I hear her say, "Ow," and I hear a splash. So I look over, and she has fallen. But, like, how do you fall sitting in a hot tub? That doesn't even make sense. So I watch her get back up, and she gets back up, like, on her side, and she's putting her lady parts onto the jet. She is masturbating with the water that I am sitting in while I'm 6 feet away from her. I've since told this story to a lot of my friends, and every single gay man I've told this to is like, "Yeah, you were in a bathhouse." Okay. So I didn't know that that's a thing, and I'm sure that's a thing at plenty of places, but, like, not the Burke Williams. Burke Williams is, like, stuffy and hoity-toity, and, like, that's not what people do there. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I can't relax knowing that this woman is getting off in the same water that I'm sitting in. So I start, like, marching my way out of the hot tub, and she starts moaning loudly. And I'm just like, "Geez, lady, like, let me leave. You can do your thing. It's fine. Whatever." A little bit later, I'm getting a massage from a woman named Serena, and she is fantastic. She is, like, she has really strong hands, and she's doing the stuff to, like, my neck and my shoulders, and it just feels really good. And I don't know if I, like, picked up on some of the sexual energy from the hot tub lady earlier, but I find myself, like, making some of the same noises that she was. And I think I had a lady boner the entire massage. I really liked it. And as Serena's rubbing me down, I realize, like, this is the first time I've been touched like this in a while. You guys, I was going through a dry spell. It had been well over 2 months since I'd seen any action. And, like, this night in the hot tub, this experience in the hot tub, and this massage is the most action I've gotten for quite some time. So I'm just going to enjoy it thoroughly. And I do, and it was great. And afterwards, I take a shower, and I'm leaving the mall, and I'm feeling really relaxed and refreshed, and I decide I'll just walk home. It's about a 20-minute walk. I go through the Civic Center neighborhood, which can be a little bit sketchy after dark, but it's only 9 p.m. It's not that late. So I smoke a bowl, and I start walking home, as you do. So I'm about halfway through my walk, and this man asks me if I know where the Chase Bank is. And at first, I'm, like, a little nervous, like, "Oh, who's this guy talking to me?" Because it's kind of a sketchy neighborhood. But when I look at him, like, he's handsome. And not just handsome, but, like, Disney prince handsome. This guy looks like Aladdin. Like, he's got that awesome wavy hair and the big eyes. But he's a little bit lighter in complexion, and he has a full beard. And it's that sexy, like, just past a 5 o'clock shadow beard, which I just love. So I tell him, like, yeah, I know where the Chase is. It's right up there on Van Ness. But if you're trying to use the ATM, you're going to be disappointed. It's closed. And he says, no, I just checked the app. The app says it's open 24/7. I was like, I know, but I bank there. And it's only open when the branch is open. It's a new change. And he was like, oh, crap. It's just that, like, I'm the CEO of this tech company, and we're doing an event tomorrow, and, like, I needed to have cash for it. What do you do for work? And I was like, oh, I also work in tech, but I do finance. And he says, oh, that's really cool. Well, hey, now that I can't go to the bank, like, do you want to grab a drink with me? You seem really interesting. And at first, I'm like, dude, I don't just go to drinks with guys I meet walking through Civic Center at night. But then I was like, well, what am I going to do? Like, I was just going to go home, sit on my couch, smoke some pot, and, like, watch Netflix with my two cats. So I'm like, I guess I can get a drink with this guy, sure. So I say, yeah, let's go to Whitechapel. It's just a couple blocks away. It's a really nice gin bar. So we walk into Whitechapel, and it's pretty empty because it's a Monday night. So we're able to get a table, like, right along the side wall, which is opposite from where the bar is. And the tables are really nice. Like, it's just beautiful furniture, and there's, like, a long, like, kind of booth bench seat that's, like, covered in red velvet. It's really pretty. The bar is really dimly lit, so it's very romantic. He and I take a look at the menu. We pick a couple specialty cocktails. He goes to the bar, gets the drinks, brings them back, and I find out a little bit more about this guy. So his name is Hassam, and he's half Moroccan and half French, and he grew up living between those two countries. He's been living in San Francisco for about 4 years, and he learned English after coming out here. So he has this really cute accent that's kind of half Moroccan and half French, but, like, all the charming. So we finished our cocktails, and he asked me if I want to take shots. And I was like, no. No, that sounds awful. But, like, if you want to drink straight booze, why don't we just get, like, gin on the rocks and we can sip it? And he was like, oh, okay, we can do that. So he goes and orders some gin. He brings it back. He agrees that's a much better way to drink than just pounding shots. So he's telling me a little bit more about his business. And he says, you know, we're actually looking for a finance person. And part of the reason I wanted to take you to a drink is because you said you do finance for tech. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. But, like, I don't know that I could work for you because I think I'm too attracted to you. And he says, wow, you're really forward. Is this the part of the night where we make out? And I said, I hope so. And he says, well, then kiss me, but slowly. So I kiss him slowly, and he says, you're a really good kisser. And I said, thanks, so are you. And then we're slowly making out, and that turns into passionate making out, and that turns into him taking out his phone and pulling up Uber and saying, what's your address? I said, you're a little presumptuous. And he says, do you not want to take me home right now? And I was like, I do, but I thought you would at least ask. We get in the Uber, and we make out the entire way to my apartment. And once we get upstairs, like, there is no beating around the bush. There's no joking about what's about to go down. Like, we just start making out. Clothes are coming off. We end up naked on my bed. We're kissing. He's kissing my neck. Our hands are roaming. It's going great. And he says, I can't believe how sexually attracted we are to each other. And I was like, I know. Like, I think you're really hot. You seem to think I'm really hot. I have a huge mirror next to my bed. And I'm like, look at the reflection. Like, they're really hot. Like, this is fucking awesome. Then he asked me if I have lube, and I open the drawer to get it, and he pulls out my ball gag, and I'm like, no, like, I'm not actually that kinky. That was given to me as a gag gift. I was like, I don't really want to use that. And he's like, okay, that's fine, but do you have a toy that you do want to use? That sounds fun. I was like, yeah, it does. So I pull out just, like, a little pocket rocket vibrator that I got at Good Vibes. And, like, I'm using that on myself. And he's got some fingers in me. And he's hitting my G-spot. And he goes, wow, your pussy is so tight, it feels like an asshole. No one's ever said that to me before. But I think it's a compliment. So we're fooling around still, and, like, Normally, when I hook up with a guy for the first time, I feel really like shy and reserved, and it feels a little bit awkward. I tend to be really quiet. But with him, like, there's just no awkwardness. There's no room to be shy, and I'm making all the noises. And he is like, I wish I could record your moans and listen to them later. And I was like, you live nearby. Like, you could just come over. Anyways, we end up, like, this sexual episode lasts for a couple hours, and it's fucking great. Like, everything's just fantastic. We have amazing chemistry. And after a couple explosive orgasms, we're lying down on my bed in our post-coital afterglow. And he looks at me and says, you know, I really needed that. I was going through a dry spell. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. I was going through a dry spell. Like, thank goodness the fuck fairies up above were shining down on us as we walked down McAllister Street. Because seriously, what were the odds of us meeting this way? To date, that was my best Monday ever. I'm not done. All right. Oh. So I've just got to say, thank you, masturbating hot tub lady. Because I think you really put some sexual energy in the air for me. And now when I hear someone say, I have a case of the Mondays, I kind of get a lady boner. Thank you.
Yeah.
That song was Sexy Drug by Falling in Reverse. I want to read you an email I just received. Hey, Dixie and Marty. I wanted to let you know how much I enjoyed the live stream last Saturday. I really thought it went well, and I love the exhibitionists who provide an audience we can see and hear. It's more enjoyable for me than the podcast because I can see Dixie and the storytellers up close and personal. I live in New York City, and I can't get to San Francisco to attend in person, though I have in the past, and it was fun. So I really hope you'll continue to do live streams once things return to normal. Looking forward to more from Keith. Isn't that nice? How amazing is it when you try and do something new and scary and people say that might be the best thing you've done yet? So this is the part of the podcast where I tell you about upcoming shows. And the next live stream is going to be on Saturday, May 30th. I'm working on some really special storytellers for this one. And as you heard in that email, we do a thing called the exhibitionist. An exhibitionist is something that you can be, or you can just watch people who are listening to the stories along with you. Some of them are furries, some are into leather, some are into drag, but it's great eye candy. Somebody to watch laugh at the best parts of the stories, to watch them cry when things get poignant. You feel less alone. It's not just storytellers telling you a story, it's that community experience that we do so well at Body. When I started doing live streams, people started right away saying, hey, why don't you just do it like this? And just everybody's doing it this way. And I'm like, no, I want to do it my way. And my way means I have to feel like we're coming together. And I don't want to just watch the internet. I want to feel like we're part of something. And we've done 3 of them so far. And every single one we do, people say that was better than the one before. They love that it feels like the storyteller is right there, looking in their eyes, telling the story to them. There's not that distance between them and the stage like we have at live shows. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? That's something good. They came out of something horrible. COVID is changing the way we do things. And I certainly don't want to be doing everything online from now on, but it's added to our repertoire. So we do live shows, we do podcasts, and now we do live streams. What's next? You probably should give me an idea because right now my brain is full. I have been reinventing myself a lot since Shelter in Place started. So make sure you go online. There is a link in the show notes. You can find it on our website. The next live stream is going to be on Saturday, May 30th. And I hope to see your face on the live stream too. You hear me talk about Patreon all the time? And Patreon is how we're getting through this thing. Body storytelling would not exist right now if it were not for our patrons. And I am working really hard to give everybody really great rewards, stuff you can't get anywhere else other than on Patreon. I'm kind of excited about it, and I know it comes across, and I talk about it on every episode, but I'm excited about the fact that I have this dedicated place to connect with people who love this show. You know, it's a place to put the videos that I have that would get lost on social media. Like, they go to the right people because those people love Body. It's a place to put the live stream replay. It's a place to have all of the things that I work on, the notes from working with the storytellers and the story coaching sessions and the videos that would go with the story from the podcast. I could put it on YouTube, but YouTube tends to try and suppress sexual content, not Patreon. One of the reasons I like it. So if you could go to patreon.com/body, you know how to spell body, and support us at whatever level you can, we are coming up with great new rewards. You can see the show if you miss the live stream. You can watch the replay there. And I'm looking for new ideas. I have a ton of content. I've been doing this for 13 years. So if you tell me what you particularly are looking for, a sort of story, maybe some story content you're interested in, I can work with you. I can try and find it for you because I'm home all the time. And as I am reorganizing and I am working on stories for the podcast, I'm finding things that I want to share with people. I'd like to share it with you. Why don't we do that on Patreon? Looks like this is the end. It's time to say thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. Thank you to podcast producer and live stream technical director, Marty Garcia. Thank you to sound engineer, David Grossoff. Thank you to video archivist, Joe Moore. Thank you to you. I would love a review. If you have nice things to say about the podcast, well, okay, you could say bad things, but you're probably not listening to the very end of the episode if you have bad things to say. So it would really mean a lot if I could read what you think about the podcast, not privately in an email, but publicly, so that people can know you love me. That's important. Oh, and by the way, did you know that Bawdy Storytelling is part of the Pleasure Podcast Collective? We are sex-positive podcasts who work together to make the world a more accepting place. And I want to tell you about one of the podcasts in the Pleasure Podcast Collective that you probably know about, but I want to make sure that you know that she's not only an incredible storyteller who's told on the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. Tristan Taramino is the host of Sex Out Loud, one of the most popular sex education podcasts out there. She's an entertaining host, and let's let her tell you about what Sex Out Loud is. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back next week with another episode.
Hi, I'm Tristan Taramino, the host of the podcast Sex Out Loud. I'm answering the Pleasure Podcast's question of the month and telling you my number one sex tip for quarantine. Use this opportunity to expand your definition of intimacy. It might include mutual masturbation, an erotic massage, dirty text messages, or a new sex toy connected to an app. And if you're in the mood for some pleasure in politics, listen to my podcast, Sex Out Loud.